谁听不懂中文的哈？哎，对不起，谁听不懂英文的？你们要下去这个厚度。好，我这边只讲英文的，所以谁听不懂啊？你们去厚度。有人负责开那个中文的录音带。姐，你是谁负责开啊？45分钟哈，45分钟就要回来了。还有如果你是初学者，好，然后你对这个佛法不是认识很深的话呢，我建议你听中文的，因为我的英文的 talk 会比较深一点。好，有很多名相，然后比较深一点。那如果你听得懂中文又听得懂英文，但是对佛法的认识不是很深呢，我建议你听中文的。好，Are you ready? There's still some outside, right? Okay, before we start, let us recite Namo Tassa 3 times as a respect to the Buddha, because what I teach is the teaching of the Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhasaNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Today's talk, continuously for 4 or 5 days, I will discuss with you the 5 aggregates. I will go into very details about 5 aggregates. 5 yun, The first question, what is 5 aggregates? Materiality aggregates, feeling aggregates, perception aggregates, and formation aggregates. And last one, consciousness aggregates. This is, in short, 5 aggregates. I will explain in detail as I go on. And this 5 aggregates is ultimate truth. In this world, there are 2 types of truth, or ultimate realities. One is called Samudhi Satya, conventional truth. Another one is called Parama Satya, ultimate truth. So five aggregates of clinging are ultimate truth. And Buddha's teaching is merely concerned ultimate truth. We use conventional truth to reach ultimate truth. In order to tell you clearly the difference between conventional truth and ultimate truth, I would like to quote a conversation between King Mininda and Arahant Nagasena. King Mininda is very smart in debate. So, during that time, he was so famous in debating. One day, Thera, Mahathera, asked Arahant Nagasena, to debate with King Mininda, because King Mininda think the Buddha's teaching is so inferior because none of the monks can defeat him. So Nagasena was told to debate with King Mininda. So one day King Mininda came to monastery and pay homage to Arahant Nagasena. After paying the respect, he asked Arahant Nagasena, he said, "Venerable Sir, how your fellow monk address you?" Then Nagasena said, "My fellow monk address me as Nagasena. But Nagasena is not something real. It does not exist in ultimate truth." Then King Mininda asked him, "You say Nagasena does not exist. Then who are you sitting in front of me, receiving my bow, receiving my homage, receiving all my offerings of four requisites to you?" Because King Mininda is very good in debate. The moment he say Nagasena does not exist, then he posed him a question. Then Arahant Nagasena questioned him before he answered. He questioned him. He said, "King, how you come to this temple?" Then the king said, "I come with a chariot." "And tell me," Nagasena said, "tell me, what is chariot? Is the horse chariot, or the wheel chariot, or the body of the chariot, or the pole chariot?" King Mena said, "No, the wheel is not chariot. The horse, neither the horse is chariot." Then Nagasena asked him again, "Just now you told me you come here by chariot, and now I question you, what is chariot? And yet you cannot give me firm answer." Then King Mininda said that chariot is made up by all these parts you mentioned. Chariot is made up by horse, the body of the chariot, the wheel and the cart, and so on. The combination of these parts make up the chariot. Then Venerable Nagasena said, "Very good. The way you understand the chariot, how you understand the chariot, this is the way you understand me, Nagasena. So Nagasena does not exist. what actually exists is only five aggregates. Materiality aggregate, feeling aggregate, formations aggregate, perception aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. So in the conversation, in this conversation between King Mininda and Nagasena, is to answer the question, what makes up the self? What is my real self? Now you should be able to answer, what makes up the self? Self is only conventional truth. When you penetrate conventional truth with wisdom, you reach ultimate truth. Self is made up by five aggregates of clinging. So to understand the teaching of the Buddha, you have to understand these two types of truth in order to make progress. We are living in the conventional truth. Without conventional truth, we cannot live. But conventional truth is for the sake of convenience. For the sake of convenience and for the sake of easy communication. But not to live with, in order to attain eternal happiness. So in order to attain eternal happiness, you have to go beyond this conventional truth and reach or arrive at ultimate truth. Only then you will break through. You will break through your practice. Okay, now the second question. Why should we understand five aggregates? You may think this. Why should we understand five aggregates? Or anyone want to give your answer? You may gradually familiar with my way of teaching. I would like to pose a question to let you think, then I will give you the answer. Good. 80% correct. 20% need to be clarified. Okay. Why should we understand five aggregates first? Because five aggregates is the noble truth of suffering. The whole teaching of the Buddha is concerning four noble truths. And the first noble truth is the noble truth of suffering, which is five aggregates of clinging. Without understanding the noble truth of suffering, how can you get rid of suffering? Only by truly, fully understand the suffering, then you can get rid of suffering. So, in the first noble truth, the noble truth of suffering, this suffering in Pali we call dukkha saccha. What is the meaning of dukkha? The dukkha is compound word, du and kang. Du is bad, B-A-D, bad, not good, bad. Kang is void of happiness and self. So dukkha means not good, bad. Why? Because it is void, empty of happiness, empty of self. this is the correct meaning of dukkha, suffering. Then, we used to mention dukkha in three ways. One is dukkha, dukkha. Number two, viparinama dukkha. Number three, sankhara dukkha. Number one, dukkha, dukkha. What is the meaning of dukkha, dukkha? Dukkha, dukkha usually refer to physical body, the physical suffering, the body, bodily suffering. This body bring a lot of suffering. If you are mindful enough to observe your body, for example, if you sit now, you are doing sitting meditation. After half an hour, the pain arises somewhere. Then you cannot endure the pain, you change posture. Another 10 minutes, another pain arises somewhere again. Then you change, so you sit there, keep on changing posture just to cope with your pain. This is called physical suffering. And after one hour sitting, you get up and walk. After half an hour walking, you still feel suffering somewhere. Walking also, if you walk continuously for 1 hour, 2 hours, you also feel another suffering with this walking meditation. Then you lie down. After lying down for a long time, you also feel lying down is also not comfortable. Then you stand still. When you stand still for a long time, you also feel, it's also suffering. Why not I sit down again? So if you can keep one posture for a long time, the suffering nature is revealed in your body. Why in your ordinary life, you don't realize that much? Because you keep on changing posture. Little bit uncomfortable, you change. So the suffering is gone. But in during meditation, you are told to keep the same posture for a certain period of time, then the suffering nature is revealed. Okay, so this is called dukkha, dukkha. Another one, viparinama dukkha. Suffering due to change. For example, you feel very happy at this moment. But very soon, you feel that the happiness changed so fast. When the happiness changed, then you feel suffering again because of your attachment to that happiness. So when the happiness goes away, then you feel suffering. This is called suffering due to change. We call viparinama dukkha. Number third, sankhara dukkha. Suffering due to condition. Your mind and body always, you can sometimes feel that your mind and body are beyond your control. Your emotions are beyond your control. Your physical pain are beyond your control. Because they are produced by causes. And these causes also beyond your control. When the weather too hot, you also feel suffering. So you come into an aircon room. After a long time, it's too cold. It's another type of suffering. So these conditional things, everything are beyond your control. So you feel the suffering. Suffering because it's out of your control. Aging, sickness are also suffering. Sankhara dukkha, because it's out of your control. And sometimes you get, if your life meet with a lot of misery, you feel very disenchanted with your human life. You want to stop, but you just can't stop because your defilement, the defilements which produce life, are still intact with you. So even though you feel disenchanted with your human life, you still have to go on. Because the causes for the karma to be reborn as human is not yet exhausted. This is called sankhara dukkha. Suffering due to formations. And all this dukkha comes from having these five aggregates. Whether it's dukkha, viparinama dukkha, suffering due to change, or suffering because of formations. All these dukkhas come from having these five aggregates. That's why it's called the noble truth of suffering, dukkha satcha. Okay, number two, why should we understand? Why should we study five aggregates? Because these five aggregates are the objects that identity view and clinging spring. This is a very important sentence. These five aggregates are the objects that identity view or personality view and clinging springs. Identity view, we identify our body as I, mine, myself. Without a body, how can you identify body as I, mine, myself? So materiality aggregate become the object of identity view, identify the body as I, mine, myself. And because of this identification, then the clinging starts. Because you identify body as I, then I cling. I start to cling to it, I start to attach to it because of the identity view. So also your feeling, pleasant feeling. Whenever you have pleasant feeling, I identify it, my pleasant feeling. This pleasant feeling is mine. And you, when you identify it, then clinging also follow your identification. So also your consciousness. When your eye see something, I see. When the ear hear something, when the sound impinge the ear sensitivity because of this contact, then hearing consciousness arises, hearing the sound. This is the actual process. But without seeing clearly all this process, then you identify, I hear. When you eat something, when the food touches the tongue sensitivity, then the tongue consciousness arises, knowing the taste. This is the actual process. But without understanding this process, you immediately identify, I taste. You identify the eating process as I am eating. Because you have the body, you have the consciousness. That's why you get. So that's why the identity view comes. Here, I would like to quote what the Ananda's experience. Ananda break through his practice and become sotapan, stream entry, by listening to a discourse given by Punya Manta Niputta about this clinging to five aggregates. Arahan Punna Manta Niputta asked, how the notion I am occurs, or how the view of I am so and so occurs. Can you give me the answer? How the view or the notion of I am occurs. We all have this view, I am, how it occurs. No, now the question, now I ask the question, now it's not talk about Ananda first, Now the question, how the view or notion of I am occurs in you? In all you, each of us, yes? Because of the ego, okay? Some more? Okay, some more? Because of attachment, okay? Some more? This is an important question, What? Craving. Good. Very good, Okay. So, Mata, Punna, Manta, Niputta, expounded this Dhamma to Ananda, and Ananda becomes Sotapan. So, after finish this, hopefully, one of you can become Sotapan. Okay. So, he said that the notion or the view I am occurs. It is because by way of clinging or craving, same. It is by clinging that the notion of I am occurs. And clinging to what? That the notion of I am occurs. Clinging to what? That the notion of I am occur. Yes, five aggregates. Five aggregates, body and mind. Another simple saying, conventional truth. Clinging to body and mind, that the notion, the view of I am occur. Then he gives a simile. He said that just as a young woman fond of ornament will ascend her face in front of a mirror, and she looked at the mirror, she looked at the mirror with clinging, not without clinging. So also, the notion of I am occur because of the clinging. And clinging to what? Clinging to five aggregates. And the Punna, Manta, Niputta continue to ask, is materiality aggregate impermanent or permanent? What's your answer? Impermanent. If you can bear this in mind, you will make very fast progress. Theoretically, we know impermanent, but when the suffering comes, we forgot the impermanent. We must bear this impermanent in our mind all the time. So whatever things happen to you, if you can just know impermanent, then at that moment you're free from all suffering. It's just that you forgot the impermanent. When happiness comes, you forgot the impermanent. So when happiness goes away, you suffer greatly because you forgot. Happiness is also impermanent. Okay. So, Punna, Manta, Niputta asks, is it materiality impermanent or impermanent? And Ananda asks, impermanent. You should investigate your own body. For example, if your mindfulness is sharp enough, if you always keep your attention to your body, you can see how fast the body changes. From the first moment you wake up from the bed, you see your body. Then after 20 minutes or after half an hour, you see again, investigate your body again. Or after food, your body changes another form. Or when you are hungry, the body also another form. When you are happy, your body also another form, very light. Or when you are sad, your body is very heavy, rigid, heavy. So your body, if you are mindful enough to observe your body, you can see your body change all the time. From the morning you try, from tomorrow morning you try to see your body. Then after 1 hour you try to see this body, is it same as 1 hour before? Or after food you see the body before food and after food, how it changed. Or after the sitting, good sitting, or after the bad sitting, you see your body, how it changed. So this materiality aggregate is impermanent. Okay. Then you investigate again, your feeling aggregate, is it permanent or impermanent? Impermanent. Feeling aggregate change faster than body. For example, your eyes see something pleasant, pleasant feelings. When the ear sees, hear something unpleasant, unpleasant feeling. When your body, when your tongue touch something, your tongue touch some food which you like, pleasant feeling. When some food which you do not like, unpleasant feeling. So the feeling change even faster. Then the next one, perception aggregate. What you perceive previously now may already change. For example, previously you may think money is very important. You value the money very much. But after some time, you find that money cannot bring lasting happiness. That's why you come to practice the Dharma. So your perception towards the wealth, the property, in material already changed. Last time you perceive all are permanent, but now you perceive at least half of them are impermanent. So you no more perceive all are permanent. So your perception have already changed. Okay. So the next one, formation aggregate. Formation aggregate including all your emotions, your anger, your jealousy, your generosity, your mindfulness, your concentration, your wisdom, your virya, your effort also change all the time. Sometimes you are mindful, sometimes you are not mindful. So change. Sometimes you can concentrate well, sometimes you can't. Concentration also change. Sometimes you have a lot of energy to practice. Sometimes you can't even sit for half an hour. So your effort also change. So all these are formation, change all the time. And the consciousness. Consciousness, we have 6 types of consciousness. Eye consciousness, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. Change even faster. Eye sees, ear hears. It change very fast. So this, if you investigate this 5 aggregate, punna, manda, niputa, ask the monks, Ananda, to investigate these 5 aggregates. Are they permanent or impermanent? Then they answer impermanent. Then what are impermanent are also suffering. What are impermanent cannot bring happiness. So what are impermanent, suffering cannot be regarded as self. So they are not a self. If they are not a self, what are they? What are they? Merely cause and effect. Only cause and effect. So what are they? Cause and effect. So after punna, manta, niputta finished expounding this Dhamma, Venerable Ananda becomes Sotapan, becomes stream entry. Okay, so just now we have mentioned, why should we understand or why should we study five aggregates? Number one, because it is the noble truth of suffering, dukkha satcha. Number two, because they are the object that identity, view and clinging spring. Now number three, because five aggregates are the objects for investigation to gain insight, knowledge. Because five aggregates are the object of vipassana. To gain insight. If a person, a meditator, keeps on investigate five aggregates and finally they find out this five aggregates is arising and passing away all the time, then they will become disenchanted. Once they become disenchanted, they want to let go. They want to let go of the attachment to these five aggregates. Now we are still attached to our body and mind. Why? Why? Do you attach to your body and mind? Who do not attach to the body and mind? So everybody attached to body and mind. Okay, tell me why. Please, why you attach to your body and mind? Why? Very good. Okay, why you attach to your body and mind? Why? Why you have greed? I still cannot get the answer I want. Okay, someone, anyone want to try? Why you crave for your body and mind? Why you attach to your body and mind? Why you want to crave for it? Why you like it? Okay, another word, because you do not see the fault of body and mind yet. This is the answer I want. Just like a child, first time when he saw the firework, firework, firecracker, firework, yanhua, when the child first time see the firecracker, firework, it's so happy, so beautiful, so beautiful, fascinating, so he develop attachment to this firework. So one day, out of curiosity, he touches this firework and get burned. So he start to know this firework is not as beautiful as I think. It's full of dangers. It can burn me if I attach to it. Hold on to it firmly, then it will burn me. So once this child get burned by this firework, then he understand the fault, the dangers of this firework, and he start to keep distant from the firework. He no more attach. He does not like firework anymore. So come back to this mind and body. Why we attach? Why we crave to mind and body? Because we do not see the fault of mind and body yet. Although we have been exposed to Buddha's teaching many times. Mind and body are suffering, dukkha, and yet we still cling to this dukkha. We still cling to mind and body. Why? Just like the child, we not yet get burned by this mind and body. We not yet see the fault, the true dangers of mind and body. Now come to another most important question. How to see the fault? How to see the fault, the dangers of mind and body? Experiencing of what? Exactly, correct. Only through experiencing constant arising and ceasing of mind and body, then you will see the dangers, the fault of mind and body. And this is the aim, this is the objective, this is the goal of Vipassana practice. It's very important that when you come to practice, you know the goal, you know the objective, you know the aim. If not, simply practice, don't know where the practice lead me. No, you must know clearly the objective, the goal, and the aim of your practice. But this doesn't mean that you attach to the goal. You know, it doesn't mean that you attach to the goal. You just know it clearly and let the practice take care by itself. Don't just, I want to sit down, I want to see arising and passing away in order to realize the fault of the body, in order to realize the danger of the body, and you end up suffering. Because Dhamma only will reveal itself when time is right. When the time is not right yet, your wisdom is not mature enough to see arising and passing away, you just cannot see. So when you do your sitting meditation, free yourself from all expectation. But your aim, you must understand clearly. The aim, the goal, the objective of the practice must be very clear in your mind, so that you always can check your practice, whether you are sidetracked or you are directing to your goal. But please remember, this doesn't mean that you expect the result. You just do your duty. Let the nature take its course. And I just want to tell you, the progress of the practice comes a long way. At least after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you start to see the result. You cannot see the result. You cannot see your character change for so fast. You can't. Unless your parami is very strong. If not, it's very difficult to see the result in a short period of time. But you must have confidence, as long as I am practicing, then I will progress. That's all. And let the result take its course. Okay. Time's up. Any question? No question. Okay. Yes, 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 it's true. But most of us cling to them, you know. Just I ask all of you, do you cling to them? Everybody say yes. Only Arahant has no clinging to mind and body. Even Anagami still cling to mind and body. That's why Anagami still want to reborn in the Brahma world. So if Anagami still cling to mind and body, not to speak us. Okay. So Arahant has five aggregates, but no clinging. We have five aggregates of clinging. Okay, next question. This is the five aggregates of clinging is first noble truth. And the practice, the Vipassana practice is Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path, the practice is to see arising and passing of away of this mind and body. This is called Noble Eightfold Path. Summarize. The summary of Noble Eightfold Path. To get the consciousness. Okay. No, the question is not clear. Can you say it? Do you mind say it again?
I.
Yes. What type of consciousness? When I see the form, this I consciousness seeing the form. Is I consciousness sees the form. Without I consciousness, I cannot see.
I consciousness
sees the form. Yes. 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 Okay. Let me explain one more time. When the visible object, for example, color impinges eye sensitivity inside retina, then I consciousness arises seeing the form. That seeing the form is called seeing consciousness, yes. So if the question is clear, I cannot answer. Okay. Then after seeing consciousness, many other consciousness arise, like greed consciousness accompanied with greed liking this form. This is another type of consciousness. Okay. Yes? Okay. Yes, yes. Right. There's no eye consciousness. No eye consciousness. Yes. Eye consciousness cannot arise. That's why everything is cause and effect. If retina is blind, for example, a person who is blind, then there is no eye consciousness will arise in her mind stream. Sometimes even you have retina, but when it's dark, dark in a dark room, eye consciousness also cannot arise. Yes.
If a person's mind is focusing on something accident, and someone is passing in front of him,
he cannot see. Right. This is called no attention. So for the eye consciousness to arise, seeing consciousness to arise, four factors must be fulfilled. Number one, retina. Number two, light. Number three, attention. What you say? Number three, another one is what? Light, retina, attention. There's one more. Color, visible object, the form. The form must appear. If no form, what the eye can see? So when these four factors are fulfilled, eye consciousness arise seeing that form. So from here you also can see everything are cause and effect. Only cause are fulfilled, then the effect of seeing arises. So there's not I, mine, myself, only cause and effect. Okay, so we will continue tomorrow. Thank you.